Moses came down from the hill, holding the rules in his hand. Looked all around, suddenly found no one was listening. Now it's time to throw down, so throw down. Throw down. We'll throw down. Throw down.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Buttman Ships Network. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will, Rowdy Roddy Rab. Will Rab, how are we doing this afternoon?
Doing very well. Always good to spend some time with the fourth unknown member of the Legion of Doom.
I appreciate you letting people know I am the little known fourth member of the Legion of Doom behind Dawes, I should say. It's Dawes, actually.
Dawes, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't put much effort into the fourth member.
Really didn't. I'm kind of a ripoff Drozdoff in The Miz. So an interesting combination am I.
Talk about a bastard love child.
No kidding. Bastard for sure. Love, I don't know about that. We're recording this on the 20th of March, so we are in the throes of March Madness. Rab, how's your bracket looking?
Well, so far, so good. I've come to the theory, I don't know if you've noticed this, but anytime there's some sort of office pool, the chick who knows nothing about sports and picks the teams based on their mascot and the uniform colors does the best.
It always seems to work that way.
So what I do is I go in and I pick my bracket and I spend about 5 minutes on it and I just click through and whatever my gut tells me to do, I do.
Follow your gut instinct.
And then I might make a couple of tweaks after I kind of think about it, but I don't make any major overhauls. I might swap out one or two teams.
Okay, well, we're going into what I guess the NCAA is calling the second round, what the rest of America calls the first round.
The real tournament.
Yeah, the real tournament. What is an upset pick from you, Will Rab?
I don't know if I have very many upsets this year. It's a very chalk-heavy year.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I will say the only number one team that I have in the Final Four is Indiana.
Really?
Yeah, I updated it this morning. I have Indiana, Ohio State, Georgetown, and Duke is my Final Four.
Well, our Final Fours are very similar. I have Ohio State winning the whole thing, which pains me to no end because I hate the Suckeyes. They're beating Georgetown in the championship game, and Ohio State will beat Louisville to get there, and Georgetown will beat Miami.
If you're looking for a surprise team, I would suggest that you put the Belmont Bruins in the Sweet 16.
Belmont has a pretty decent matchup, but if you're looking around upset pick from me, number 11, Bucknell over number 6, Butler.
I would also suggest Minnesota or possibly Oregon.
Oregon got a 12 seed. That's insane.
Yeah.
They're the Pac-12. But this isn't a podcast about the Pac-12 basketball tournament. This isn't a podcast about the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but we have the madness.
Yes, we do have the madness. Hopefully you do as well. Hopefully your bracket is not busted as of yet.
If it's already busted, what the hell were you doing?
Maybe they were like me and looking forward to baseball season.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. Apparently, I'm a masochist. So, go Cubs, go.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to my first season without Chipper Jones in pro baseball.
Ah, yes. I'm a Cubs fan, but at the same time, I can definitely appreciate a class act like Chipper Jones. I actually saw his last at-bat in Wrigley. I have a picture on my face. It's very cool.
Good for you. How about we get back on the road to WrestleMania?
Yes, this because we are on the road to WrestleMania, as we all point to the sign here in the Palacious Buttman's Chip
Cubs
Studio.
Not Blues Radio or March Madness Fever Intervention.
Or what have you.
Radio.
Yes, radio. This is Near Fall Radio. This is the premier wrestling podcast on the Buttman's Chips Radio Network.
It helps that it's the only podcast.
We weren't going to say that, but yes, by default, it is the most prestigious wrestling podcast on the Buttman's
like
Chips
to
Network.
Shoot. I don't like to pull the wool over the listeners' eyes.
You like to pull the curtain back and let them see what's going on backstage?
Yes. Yeah,
so this is like the Attitude Era all over again?
If a guy doesn't show up, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to tell you he didn't show up and he's a POS and that's why Taz is going to snap him in half when we find him.
We can say piece of shit on this radio.
Well, network. Okay. I was going to try to be...
Speaking of piece of shit, I would like to thank our audio, I guess, sponsor, SoundCloud, because I tried to upload last week's episode or 2 weeks ago episode. It didn't even make it to the preview page. So eat a bag of SoundCloud.
Okay. Hot start here.
Yeah, I'm like CM Punk this week on Raw. I'm dropping shit, and unlike Punk, there is no FCC to censor me.
Yeah, I guess we're PG-13 this week.
Or PG-14, TV-14, what is it?
Whatever, you know.
Regardless.
We're not child-friendly here on Near Fall Radio.
Yeah, we'll probably put up the not safe for work tag on this episode.
Yes.
Because
you drop eat a bag of 5 minutes into the show.
Well, if you remember last week, it was only 3 minutes into the episode when I made a reference to my penis, so I guess I'm getting better every week. Yeah, by the way, not safe for work, as you probably have already found out.
Yes, we are on the road to WrestleMania.
Yes.
And just a couple of weeks away.
We're really getting close. I mean, we said we're recording this on the 20th of March. April 7th is WrestleMania 29, so I mean, we're like, what, 3-4 weeks away?
Yeah.
I'm no math magician, but all right.
I'm not great at math, but we are closing in on Mania.
We'll go ahead and let you know the matches we have announced so far. We have, of course, WWE Champion The Rock defending against John Cena twice in a lifetime. We have World Heavyweight Champion Del Rio going against the Tea Party's favorite wrestler, Jack Swagger.
We have, as Doan dies.
Yes, and I'm back.
And he's back. The Undertaker.
Oh, yes.
Versus CM Punk.
That should be an interesting matchup with everything that's happened in the last little bit.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. That match is going to be more violent than the no-holds-barred match between Lesnar and Triple H.
I don't know. I kind of feel like that is going... Yes, also announced this week on Raw, it's a no-holds-barred match between Brock Lesnar and Triple H, and if Triple H loses, he must retire. I think that is going to be a brutal, brutal matchup. When Triple H came out, what, 3 weeks ago? Lesnar bled like a pig. I mean, anytime they show the replay, they have to do that two-tone black and white just because there's an obscene amount of blood. I mean, Lesnar got busted open.
Yeah.
And that was just on a Monday Night Raw.
And I know, obviously, because it's wrestling, The Undertaker's cool with it, but they've gotten so personal.
Yeah, they have, and a lot of people on the internet have had problems with how personal they've gotten. I don't particularly mind because, I obviously didn't know Paul Bearer or William Moody, who passed a couple weeks ago, but at the same time, or he was a lifer in this industry, so he strikes me as the type of person, and everybody that I've read have said the same thing. If anybody would want their death to be part of a wrestling angle, it would have been him.
I would agree. I don't think they would do it if Kane or The Undertaker were uncomfortable.
Well, exactly. And
obviously, they were, aside from working together, they were very close to,
mm-hmm.
to Bill Moody.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, the week that all of this started happening, where Punk came out and interrupted the memorial service, Paul Bearer's actual legitimate kids were backstage. The WWE brought them in for that show. And you have to tell me, if they're okay with it, why should we as wrestling fans not be okay with it?
Wrestling fans want, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That is a good point.
Punk's a heel. Mm-hmm. We talked about him not having a purpose. At least it gives him something to work with.
Very true. And we also got to see him cut a promo where the urn was talking.
I enjoyed that promo.
And again, my favorite part was when Punk decided to say shit on live television.
Oh, USA had to be just freaking out.
Yeah.
Then another match just announced, Team Hell No.
Tag Team Champions.
Ziggles.
Mm-hmm.
He can do something other than stand outside the ring and flex.
Yeah.
And look mad at the man.
Dude has a good look. I don't know how good of a name Big E Langston is.
They can always recycle. I don't remember who Ryback used to be.
Skip Sheffield says hi.
Yes.
Or Dolph Ziggler, as a matter of fact. What, Spirit member Nikki?
Kenny, I thought.
Well, he was a member of the Spirit Squad at some point.
Who cares? He was in the Spirit Squad. Who cares what his name was?
Yeah, that's all you have to say. He was in the Spirit Squad.
Mickey. He was Mickey, I think.
Jeez, the Spirit Squad. That's something I bet a lot of people wish they hadn't remembered.
Yes. And not announced. It's not on the list of matches for WrestleMania, according to what they know,
Because, you know, worth. Wikipedia is the be-all, end-all of everything. You must take its word, its law.
They can't say it on the internet if it's not true.
Oh, of course.
It looks like we're going to get Ryback, Sheamus, and The Big Show, their best effort to kill The Shield.
But wait a second. Swerve, if you saw on Raw this past Monday, Ryback was taken out of that match by WWE Raw Acting General Man. Supervisor,
that's
administrator.
That's why we need Big Show.
Yes, taking Ryback's place in that six-man tag is going to be The Big Show.
If I hadn't butchered that so bad, I could gloat right now about how we predicted that on the last show, but I butchered who's in all those matches, so I don't get to gloat.
Well, it's okay. It's not like you're a host of the show or anything.
No, it's not like I'm expected to contribute.
Yeah, very true. But, I mean, it's like, yeah, we could say we called this, but at the same time, is it really that hard to see where this was going? And I'm not one of those people who's like, wrestling can't be predictable. There are going to be certain...
It can be if it's good.
Exactly. There's going to be certain aspects of every story you watch, not just wrestling. I mean, the new Walking Dead. I mean, I'm not going to get into spoilers, but it's like the episode that aired the 17th. I kind of saw the end coming. That did not make it any less impactful, any less, oh my God, this is happening. But at the same time, everything doesn't have to be a gotcha surprise moment. And a lot of people are, I mean, wrestling fans complained that the Royal Rumble was predictable. Everybody's like, well, Cena's going to win, and then The Rock's going to be Punk, and it's going to be... Of course it is. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
That wasn't my favorite Royal Rumble ever, but it wasn't bad.
Well, it's like you said, it's not your favorite, but like you said, it's not bad. And the thing was...
And you can always hold out hope that if it's so predictable, sometimes there's a swerve. But if there's a swerve every week, at what point is it not a swerve?
It turns into the Vince Russo era of WCW. If there's a swerve inside of a swerve inside of it, it's like.
Hey, look, Seth Green's the world champion.
Yeah. And it wasn't even Seth Green.
I know it wasn't Seth Green, but I'm just thinking of something stupid. Who's the stupidest champion you could ever have?
David Arquette. That seems pretty stupid.
Yeah, you get my whatever. You got
yeah,
my point.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the card for Mania so far. Just six matches, but we do still have some time before Mania. Looking at the SmackDown spoiler coming up from this week, it kind of looks like Chris Jericho is going to have a match against Fandango. Fandango.
Make sure you say his name right.
Otherwise, he'll interrupt the podcast and let us know this was almost the night. You got to hear Fandango make his podcasting debut.
That asswipe might blow his WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. Chris Jericho has this reputation of always wanting to get that quote-unquote WrestleMania moment. He wants to steal the show. He wants to have that Savage and Steamboat moment they had at Mania. But he's going to go up against Fandango.
Yeah, kind of hard.
Okay.
Kind of hard to steal the show if the guy doesn't want to wrestle.
You know what? I think they might be trying to get at an angle where they're going to bring back Stacy Keibler because she was on Dancing with the Stars, and Jericho is going up against this Dancing with the Stars wannabe. So why not bring in former Dancing with the Stars winner Stacy Keibler?
Why not bring in some TNA?
What, Total Nonstop Action?
No, Stacy Keibler's assets.
Ah, okay.
Stacy Keibler's Keebles.
Wow. Jesus Christ. Wow.
Hey, we said it was a wrestling podcast. We didn't say it was a good one.
Very true.
Nor did we ever act like I'm a competent radio professional.
Well, I don't think we had to let people know it wasn't a good one. I think they would have figured that out being, 15 minutes into this. So it is getting a little bit long. So we're going to go ahead and grab our first commercial break when we come back.
We are going to continue to talk Mania.
We have a new member of the Hall of Fame to discuss. So be sure and keep it locked right here. You're listening to Near Fall Radio right here on the Butt Munch Chips Network.
We're a three-man band!
Hey guys, Landon here. Now, normally during this part of the show, we would normally be playing some sort of produced sounder that Rab or I put together, but I'm being told I need to apologize because I said something that is apparently even too much for the internet. I'm talking about in the first segment where I tell SoundCloud.com to eat a bag of Yeah, see there, it got bleeped out again. Apparently you can't tell people or websites for that matter to eat bags of even on the internet. So once again, if you were offended by me telling SoundCloud.com to eat a bag of dicks, I apologize. We do normally have some adult language here on Near Fall Radio and the Butt Munch Chips Network as a whole, but they're normally not as vulgar or descriptive as eating bags of dicks. So once again, SoundCloud, and to those who I offended, I apologize for telling you to eat a bag of dicks. So with that, we'll move the show along, and thanks for listening.
I'm sorry, so sorry, that I was such a fool.
Welcome back to Near Fall Radio, Butt Munch Chips Radio Network. Sit on your butt and munch. Rowdy Roddy Rab and the Dawes Landon Doan in the house.
Hi.
We are on the road to WrestleMania.
Sign point.
How many is that for us? Was it two?
Well, that's two while we've been airing, but as you well know, when we were talking off the air, every time we mentioned WrestleMania, we had to point to the sign.
We did.
So we're up to 19.
Is that over or under the number of sign points on Raw last week?
Way under, surprisingly. Way under.
We had about, what, about 25?
Oh, my God. Every segment there was a sign point. I mean, it's not as bad as it was in years past. I'm trying to, I think it was WrestleMania 23. They couldn't go a segment without pointing at that damn sign.
If John Cena points at that sign and hard sells me one more time, I'm going to drive down there and do something about it.
Well, then I think you're going to be driving somewhere and doing something about it, because I guarantee you we're going to get, well, they're not going to stop pointing at the sign at this point. And John Cena is going to give us his hard sell probably the week before, even though it's WrestleMania. Do you really need to hard sell Mania?
No, I think you probably don't.
But he's going to, isn't he?
Tables, ladders, and chairs needs a hard sell.
Capital punishment needs a hard sell.
WrestleMania could be Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
And people would still order it.
Yep.
I mean, Mania is one of those pay-per-views that even when you're out, even when I was out of the game, not Triple H, even when I wasn't following wrestling anymore, I still always got Mania, because Mania is like the Super Bowl. Even people that don't watch football, they still watch the Super Bowl. They still watch the spectacle of it all.
Yeah, and they can explain to you why a match matters. That's what the setup's for.
Exactly. That's what the insanely well-produced segments are immediately before the match.
That's what the UFC does so well, is you can know the guys but maybe not be following it, and come into a pay-per-view and they'll tell you the backstory.
Well, yeah, it's like when I was going to MTSU, a couple of my friends out there were big MMA fans, so I would go to like bars and watch shows with them. It's like, I don't follow UFC. I like my man-on-man action to be a little more scripted and involve folding chairs. So I would go in knowing nothing about these matches, but they would give me a little short 5-minute vignette in between the matches. Like, okay, well, I understand this guy's a dick, and his opponent wants to punch him in the face for being a dick.
That's pretty much the UFC in a nutshell.
Yeah. MMA explained by the Dawes.
Nick Diaz is a dick. And George St. Pierre wants to hurt him because he has dark thoughts.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to pull for GSP in this situation. You like that?
A lot of people did last week.
I actually used terminology. Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, we have some more UFC MMA to talk about later on in the show.
That's what we call a tease in the business.
That's what we call a tease in the business. What I want to talk about right now is we were talking about Chris Jericho and
Fandango.
Fandumbo?
Fandingo?
Fandumbass?
Fandingo ate your baby.
Hey, you think you can get me some tickets?
Dead man down. I need two for my grandma.
Hey, my girlfriend wants to go too. I need three.
Make that three. We need three.
Yep. Oh, wait. Josh Matthews and Puppet H want to go.
No, that's five. Hey. I wonder if puppets get in free. I have to say, I'm very glad somebody finally made the Fandango joke that we've all been thinking, because when you heard there was going to be a character named Fandango, raise your hand if you did not think of the online movie ticket process.
Said no one ever.
Exactly. Yeah, everybody thought this. So I'm glad Jericho finally went out of his way and made this joke, and I enjoyed that promo. It was a fun promo.
That was a really good promo.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wonder, though. You think Jericho knew he was coming? I mean, I'm not saying that he wouldn't come back anyway, because he goes on tour with Fozzy for a couple months.
And then he comes back.
He comes and wrestles.
Yep.
And he loses, and they have to carry him out the ring because he doesn't want to leave, and he has a loser-leave-town match.
Yep.
And then he goes hang out with Fozzy again and play bad metalcore
goes on tour
in Europe.
I think Fozzy's actually going on tour with Anthrax and Slayer in Europe, and I'd actually like to go see that show. I think that would be a fun metal show.
I would like to see the Scott Ian spoken word that we watched the YouTube video for a couple weeks ago.
Where Jericho makes fun of the light bright jacket.
That was good.
Yeah.
But I just kind of wonder, is this the best they could come up with for Chris Jericho? Was this the plan all along, or did he just get lost in the shuffle?
I don't want to say he got lost in the shuffle, but at the same time, it's like, what were you going to do with Jericho? Because I think fans of our mind that kind of grew up with Jericho when he was Lionheart back in WCW and then came up as Y2J, I think in our minds, we want him to like be in these classic five-star matches. It's like, you know, like we were talking about last segment, Jericho wants to steal Mania. But at the same time, it's like, how many people thought last year's CM Punk and Chris Jericho match was going to be an all-time classic, best of all time, before it even happened? And that was kind of a middling match.
Yep.
It was very middle of the road.
It was very forgettable.
It really was. But at the same time, it's like, I think at this point in his career, Jericho will go where he needs to, where he's needed most. And if he's going to be used to actually get some heel heat as opposed to go away heat behind Fandango, why not? And for all we know, Fandango could be a really good wrestler who just got stuck with the Dancing with the Stars gimmick.
Who knows? It might work.
At this point, I want Fandango to come out every week and tease the fact that he is not going to wrestle, but he never does. I want his debut match to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that would be the way to go.
And I think that's the way it's going to be, because on this upcoming week of this week's SmackDown, which you'll probably have seen by now, if you haven't, okay. Fandango
or
and Jericho have a segment.
Sorry, listening to a wrestling podcast, you know that there are spoilers.
Yes, so. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't necessarily have a problem with them using Jericho against Fandango. I am interested to see where they're going to go with this angle, because like I said, right now he's getting heat, but it's not the heat he really needs to get. He's getting the go-away heat. And yes, as a heel, you're supposed to get some of that, but at the same time,
he's not getting the type of heat that The Rock got when he was a heel. When he was separating himself from the Nation, that eventually turned into, this guy's so entertaining, we can't help not liking him. I'm just making an example.
Okay, I follow you.
Right now, if Fandango got into a car wreck and disappeared permanently, people wouldn't miss him.
Damn, dude,
that's
dark.
That's the point you're making.
We here on Nearfall Radio and Button Much Chips Network hope that Fandango does not get in a car accident and disappear. We want to make that very clear.
Okay, whatever causes him to if he disappears from the WWE universe.
And then we just never see him again.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Well, yeah, he reminds me a lot of Vicky Guerrero when she first started out. She would get booed out of the building, but it was because people wanted her to go away. People were annoyed by her. People didn't see why she was around. Now, whenever she comes out, she gets booed out of the building because people hate her. She is a fantastic heel now.
Yep.
Whereas Fandango is getting a lot of that go-away heat. We don't want to see you. We're bored. We don't get you.
I guess the only other thing you could have done with Jericho is he could have been part of the team that takes on the Shield. But I like that setup for that match.
I do too.
Sheamus and Randy Orton in that match. I wouldn't take any of those out, but I think that's the only other option they would have had.
Well,
then you have a problem. What do you do with one of those guys?
Yeah, what do you do with Show? Or the thing is, we already saw Jericho team with Sheamus and Orton against the Shield on that one episode of Raw.
Yeah. So, well, you could have more than one match, but whatever.
No, you can't have more than one match. You can only fight one person once per year. That's not the rule at all.
Oh, wait, I forgot about that petition. Yeah, that's right. No rematch of Mania, no return matches. While we're on it, and I have it top of mind, we do need to mention our sponsor that makes all this possible, Body by Beer.
Body by Beer, of course. As you know, I've been following the Body by Beer program for several years now. I'm 27 at this point, so I've legally been on it for 6. I have to say, I can see the results. They really make me feel good at, not so much in the morning, but you know, that's the Body by Beer program.
You get good sleep, and that's sleep is important.
It really is.
To health.
It is.
So again, Body by Beer, more info coming soon, including a possible commercial. All right, folks, we're going to come back more to talk about, including, as we mentioned, a UFC WWE tie-in, maybe.
We have that to talk about. I'm Ron Burgundy. And we also have a new member of the WWE Hall of Fame to discuss.
We do.
So be sure and keep it locked right here. You're listening to Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt, Munch.
Next time on Near Fall Radio,
our journey on the road to WrestleMania continues.
We give you the card so far as well as our predictions.
Plus, what former WCW heavyweight champion has a son playing in the SEC?
All this and more on Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt, Munch.
Welcome back to Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. I am Landon Doan, joined by my co-host, Will Rabb. And Rabb, you have an update on a story we did last week, right?
Yes, you remember Rematch-a-Mania?
How could I forget? Rematch-a-Mania, baby. Twice in a lifetime.
This is how stupid that petition is.
Yes, for those of you who didn't listen to last week's episode, or rather 2 weeks ago episode, first of all, why not? It's really good, we think. Second of all, we talked about a story where some people took the initiative and made a petition online to get WWE to change what they have planned for WrestleMania 29 because they think it is Rematch-a-Mania, as they've dubbed it.
Not realizing that the WWE plans WrestleMania in its earliest stages up to a year out.
A year in advance, yeah.
What we wanted to do, if you were listening to the last segment, which we hope you would listen to the whole show and not just segments.
And how would you get to this segment without listening to the other two? I mean, maybe you could like scrub your iPod or your Zune if you're listening on one of those to like the third segment.
If you're one of the four people who owns a Zune, we told you we'd get you an update on Rematch-a-Mania. Here's the problem.
We've ran into a problem.
Rematch-a-Mania ain't on the internet no more.
Nope, the internet thought it was so stupid. It swallowed it into its bowels, never to be seen again.
And if you know anything about the internet and you've ever been to 4chan,
oh God,
it's rule 404. If it exists, it's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Rematch-a-Mania sucks so bad it don't exist no more.
Yes, we put our crack investigative Butt Munch Chips team to find that URL that we had, and nobody seems to be able to find it because the internet has deleted it from our histories, both our internet histories and our real life histories.
And by crack team, we mean me and Landon doing a Google search, spending about 2 seconds on it, and saying screw it was stupid anyway.
What do you mean? I have a team of 45 unpaid interns downstairs not getting college credit.
How are they unpaid and not getting college credit?
I have a really, really, really good system going for me.
You do?
Not for them, but for me.
Anyway, so Rematch-a-Mania, apparently, yeah, I think when we looked at it 2 weeks ago, like 15 people had signed it.
Yeah, 15 people signing it to get 10 of their friends to sign it.
If 10 of our friends sign it and 90 people get their friends to do it, that's 10,000.
And we'll totally do it, guys.
We'll totally do it.
We can do it.
You can do it.
And, wow, Rematch-a-Mania. I'll talk about this again.
No.
Okay, all right.
No, that's the extent of it.
If you don't know what we're listening to, go and download
last time's episode.
Yeah. Podcast, show, thing.
Another quick update. I think we teased last week that we were hoping to have a celebrity guest on.
Yes.
If you were listening to the second segment, which we highly encourage you to do for chronological reasons.
Again, how do you get to this segment without listening to the second one?
True. But in case, by the magic of your Zune, you got to this point in time. If you remember, we mentioned that we do have a possible celebrity endorsement for Body by Beer,
other than
by Landon. And we haven't finished the contract yet, so that was supposed to be our celebrity guest. So until we have him under contract.
Yeah, we're not going to let the proverbial cat out of the bag until we have ink to paper and all the I's are dotted and T's crossed.
Then we'll announce the stipulation.
Yeah, but in the meantime,
we got some good stuff to talk about to put a wraps on this.
Absolutely, we are in our third and final segment, so we're going to put the bow on this thing. We like to think we do have some stories and
bits and pieces.
Well, earlier you made reference that you are a MMA fan, and we have some UFC v WWE news. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, Dana White was doing media with RDS.
And who is Dana White for those who are uninformed?
President of the UFC.
Yes.
The guy who turned it into from literal
ultimate
human cage fighting into a legitimate sport, basically.
Legitimate with an asterisk, I guess.
Made rules and such.
Yes, yes. It's no longer, all right, you're locked in a cage.
It's
go fight.
It's no longer Royce Gracie versus Kamala. But Dana White's the UFC president. He was on RDS, which is a French language television station in Canada. And last week's UFC 158 was in Canada in Montreal, so it makes sense that he would be on RDS.
That does make sense.
They speak French there.
They do?
Yes. And he got asked about Vince McMahon, and the host wanted to know who would win in a fight, Dana White or Vince McMahon.
And the host just asked this completely hypothetical.
Yeah. And Dana proceeded to explain that, first off, if Vince ever hears this, he'll go nuts, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Vince McMahon is nuts.
Nuts like a fox.
Yeah. Rich, but nuts.
Well, foxes can be rich.
Yes.
Look at the Fox Network.
Anyway, get the train of thought rolling back here. He says, you know, Vince is too old, and he doesn't want to accept that. He would go in there and be all crazy, but he's too old. And secondly, he already wanted to do this. He called me up. He said, let's do it. Let's have a shoot fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, let that one rattle around in the brain pan for a second. Vince McMahon wanted to shoot fight, which is legitimate fight, Dana White. Not like, I'm going to kick your ass, Dana. It's more like a UFC type thing.
Yeah, brawl for all.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, we do not say brawl for all here on this radio.
That which shall not be named.
Well, no, there's something else that shall not be named when it comes to the professional wrestling. He's like professional wrestling Voldemort. You just don't say his name, and you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't talk about B for E.
B for E. Wait, no, B for A.
B for A. Yep. That's that Tennessee education.
Yep. Acronyms, ladies and gentlemen. Catch them.
But Vince McMahon is old.
That he is.
I think for his age, we can agree he's probably in decent shape.
Shoot, for my age, he's in decent shape.
He's in very good shape for his age. But he's, what, 60-something?
At least.
Dana, you realize Dana White's like 40.
Yeah, Dana's not in the latter part of his life.
No.
That we think of. Could get in that car accident with Fandango we were talking about in the first segment.
That we don't want to
happen. That we don't want to happen. Again, we want to reiterate.
That was just a hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
Situation. God bless you, Macho Man.
Ugh. We're cutting that out. That one hurts.
Okay, that one hurts. Ugh. We'll leave that. Anyway.
God.
But the point is, Dana White's a very fit man. And here's the other thing. Aside from being younger, by 20 years at least.
At least.
I've never seen it, but I get the feeling that occasionally he gets in the cage and works out.
Yeah, I would imagine just being around that, that 16, 18 hours a day, it's impossible to not end up in the ring or not to do some of the workouts along. I mean, I don't think Dana White could be like a 350-pound slob fat ass owning the UFC. I mean,
no.
Yeah. I guess you could possibly just get in shape by proxy just being around those guys for as hard as.
Yeah. And here's the thing, because let's talk hypothetical on this for a minute, and then we'll wrap up with the other thing we'll talk about. You couldn't do this. In the UFC.
No.
Because Vince couldn't get a license.
Yeah. That's the thing.
And he and Dana can't just go, oh, we're just going to have Vince fight. No. You can't just have fights.
Yeah, this has to be sanctioned.
This would have to be at Mania.
Yeah.
Which means it would get. They would put this out there way early. They would have this going.
Oh, absolutely.
They would have this going for like 6 months.
Like this.
Vince would show up at UFC events. Dana would show up at WWE. They would.
There would be cross promotion.
Like, be cross promotion. Be like when ECW and WWE kind of work together.
Just handled correctly, right?
Handled, hopefully. Probably not, because Vince is in charge.
No, excuse me. I'm thinking of the invasion, the original ECW invasion, back when they were just sitting on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah,
that was
when Ryan jumped off the Raw mm-hmm. sign.
Yeah, who saw that one coming?
Yeehaw. That gives Dana White, if Dana White has 6 months to train, because he's already, and it gives Vince 6 months to train too, but I think Vince's ego would be a problem.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, if it's a shoot fight, you have to remember you can, but if we're going to have a legit shoot fight, there's no Brock Lesnar showing up to save you.
No.
There's no run-in.
If the fight was held at WrestleMania, I guarantee you there would be several run-ins. We might even get Ken Shamrock to come back, because he was another former WWE champion.
Special guest referee Ken Shamrock.
And a former UFC champion, am I correct?
Yeah, that would be great.
I wonder what Ken Shamrock's doing.
That could be a new segment.
Where
in the world is Ken Shamrock? But no, and then I think you'd have to have Paul Heyman, Jim Ross, and Joe Rogan on commentary.
Well, yeah, you would have to have Rogan on commentary.
Oh, that would be so good.
I don't get a lot of the UFC terminology that he uses, but I still enjoy listening to Rogan call fights. And that's the thing. Who would have thought the comedian on the second version of the Man Show turned out to be the go-to voice in MMA color commentary?
He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's a BJJ brown belt.
And he's a legitimate badass and a legitimate
he's
funny guy.
He's a legitimate
guy.
Fighter. That's how they do UFC is they're like, okay, this guy knows the sport. He's a comedian, so he's comfortable in improv situations. Mm-hmm. Let's have him do backstage interviews. This is back when they're still doing tournaments. But anyway, let's just put this to bed.
Yeah, put the kibosh on the MMA talk.
Vince McMahon versus Dana White wouldn't even be a fight.
Well, no, it wouldn't be a fight. I think it would be a fight in the same way that Vince McMahon versus Donald Trump was a fight.
They could do this, but it would have to be a work.
Oh, of course.
This is a straight shoot fight. Herb Dean's cutting in and stopping the fight in 30 seconds.
I don't think Vince would let him stop the fight. Triple H would bust in with a sledgehammer and be like, all right, guys.
Speaking of Triple H, was that not a great ending to Raw?
That was very cool.
Walking down there with the chair, and then H pulls out the sledge.
Yeah, he flips over the table and pulls the sledgehammer that he'd taped to the bottom. I thought that was a pretty cool little touch.
That last segment was great, although I think Paul went a little long. He realized he had his 15 minutes of fame.
Well, I don't have a problem sometimes, like with you mentioned Paul Heyman. Another guy I'm going to mention is Zeb Coulter. I don't mind if those guys kind of talk on the mic and they kind of you're kind of like what were they talking about, because those are good talkers. I don't want them to have, all right, here's your script, this is what you're going to say before you go out. I want Paul to go out there and be Paul. I want Dutch to go out there and be Dutch.
True. Although I felt that some that I don't know if they told Paul to talk that long, but you can tell every time he grabs that mic, he wants to get vengeance at Vince. But that's not a bad thing.
No, and that's part of what drew Paul to be Paul E.
I was just ready for the confrontation, and I'm glad they announced. I was thinking they weren't going to announce the stipulation.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what was bugging me is, well, Paul's going to stand out here and talk, and Paul H is going to sign the contract, and then Brock's going to beat him up, and we're not going to find anything out.
Well, I especially thought when Brock was walking back up the ramp, because I don't know the exact time, but that segment went long into overtime.
Way, like it was like 11:15 mm-hmm. when Raw went off the air. They went way over.
Yeah, and I was really afraid when Brock was starting to walk back up the ramp, it was going to be exactly what you said. Paulie's going to be like, you want another stipulation? Well, you have 7 days to think about it.
Is this going
to
go off the air? They weren't going to say anything.
Yeah, but I was glad they went ahead and announced the stipulation. For those of you who don't know, is if Triple H loses, he has to retire, and this is a no-holds-barred match.
You think there's any shot? Because Triple H really legitimately wants to be the behind-the-scenes guy and is the behind. He calls a lot of the shots. He produces Raw, basically. He calls the shots.
I mean, Triple H is, in my opinion, done a very good job transitioning from an in-ring performer to behind the scenes.
Do you think that maybe he's going to, or you think he's going to lose at Mania, or you think?
Our next show is going to have our Mania predictions, but I will say this.
Is that a legit option?
I mean, is it a legit option? Of course it is. But at the same time, if you remember, they met back at SummerSlam, and Lesnar went over Triple H there. So in my thinking, they're going to give it back to Triple H, especially with the stipulation if you lose, you have to retire. But of course, like you said, Triple H is wanting to run the behind the scenes now, so maybe this would be a good way to get Triple H off TV. But at the same time, before recently, it's not like he was on TV every week. I mean, it had been months since we'd seen Triple H before all this Brock Lesnar stuff started up again.
That's true. He could maybe retire and he goes away for a little while, then he comes back in a behind the scenes role.
Yeah, it's possible. Well, and the thing about retirement and wrestling, it's like staying, or it's like a comic book character dying, especially in the Marvel Universe. They're retired, they're dead, just for right now. They'll be back.
Yeah, it's wrestling. There's no rules.
Exactly. Well, there are rules, but those are just mostly for show and yes. stuff like that. But we do have...
the one last thing we need to touch
yeah,
on.
Yeah, one last thing. And I'm kind of excited about this because I'm watching this individual. The newest member of the WWE Hall of Fame Class of 2013 is the five-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion, the former King... Booker T.
Dig it, sucker.
I can dig it, sucker. I remember watching Booker T back when he and Stevie Ray were running around as Harlem Heat, and they were just a tag team act on WCW. I remember when they had the Colonel managing them. I remember when they had Sherry managing them, and then for whatever reason, Booker started to show a little bit of personality in the Harlem Heat act, and then from there, Booker's star kept rising and rising. I still very vividly remember the best of seven series he had against He Who Shall Not Be Named. That there to this day, that is still some of the best professional wrestling I have ever seen. The matches they put together over seven matches.
I'll be honest. I didn't watch a lot of WCW. I was more of a WWE guy.
WWF.
WWE.
We don't have to get the F out as of yet.
All right. And like I said, we talked about the first episode. I would watch wrestling on and off.
Yeah, exactly.
Kid. So I mainly watched WWE because I was a Stone Cold and a Rock guy.
Yeah.
But even I knew the first time Booker's music hit WWE, I knew that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That Booker T. Because you have to remember, not everybody just transitioned right over. Some of the guys with the big contracts
held out for
or the WWE let them sit at home and let some of the contracts.
Yeah, they let them live the life of the contract.
They said, "Look, we're not paying you whatever contract Ted Turner gave you. We don't care. You can sit at home."
Yeah, we're not the Ted Turner ATM machine.
Yeah, no. So he didn't come over right away, but even I knew that was a big deal.
Well, and if I remember correctly, he came over as what, the invading champion. He was still carrying the WCW title.
He brought the WCW belt in.
I also remember it was Booker T because he'd beaten Scott Steiner on the last Monday Night Nitro.
Yep.
For the WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Five time.
Sucker. And then of course it's like he had a lot of great work in WWE. I mean, he came over as the invading champion, and then from there when he was running around as Goldust's tag team partner back when Goldust had his stutter, that was some of the most entertaining programming I've ever seen on any professional wrestling program. And then of course he got back on top and became World Heavyweight Champion again. I think my favorite Booker T memory is when he was feuding with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And they went into a grocery store, and Steve Austin was hunting Booker T through the grocery store, and then they proceed to beat the shit out of each other in this grocery. They destroyed. I remember Booker T sitting in the dairy with the milk and cheese and stuff like that, and Stone Cold grabs a giant thing of cheese and some dough. When the moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie, smack! That's some more.
I remember that too, and I remember very conveniently beating each other up with Hungry Man dinners.
Yeah,
and then like the next week, that being like, because you know they do like the Raw Rewind and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they used to have the Slam of the Week. Like they have the recap
yep.
segments that set up the next segment. That was the Raw Rewind, and it just so happened to be sponsored by Hungry Man.
Huh, I wonder how that worked out.
And then them beating the crap out of each other. And obviously that was planned, but talk about just brilliant, smart marketing.
It's fantastic marketing on both Hungry Man and WWE. And then King Booker.
I didn't like that.
Oh, how can Booker?
Because I couldn't suspend disbelief because I knew he was a. He was freaking Booker T.
No, but that's
Texas.
The best part. He would be like giving these and thoughts, and he would talk all prim and proper. And as it kept going on, the angrier he would get, the more Booker T. from Houston, Texas would come out. And by the end of the segment, he's like, "Sucker, I'm gonna get you." I mean, I thought that was very
enjoyable. That's kind of like Kofi forgetting he's from Africa.
Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, Booker T is the latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Can we just say this on a going out as we need to wrap up? Great wrestler, horrible commentator. Did anybody ever stumble over their words more than Booker T on the announce table?
Scott Steiner.
Yeah, I conveniently missed that dark period in time.
But I enjoy Booker's commentary work because it makes me laugh.
I enjoy Booker being the general manager and Teddy Long just telling him what to do.
Yep. Yeah. And
now hold on a second, player.
Hold on, player. We gonna do a triple threat match, y'all.
Isn't it just gotten pathetic that you know any time that either Teddy Long or whoever the general manager that Teddy Long's kissing butt for comes out? If y'all want to fight, we're going to restart the match.
Yep.
Teddy Long has restarted and made more tag team matches in the history of anybody ever in the history of the world.
Well, that is his job as the general manager.
We're going to restart this match, player. What we are not going to do is restart this podcast. We have come to the end.
Yes, we have.
Of another hopefully decent episode of Nearfall Radio. Who knows?
Yeah. I have my doubts, but you have made it to the end. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We will be back one more time before WrestleMania airs, and then we will be on the air immediately after. Well, we'll be recording immediately after. I don't know when it's going to be on the air, but we are going to be doing a live reaction to WrestleMania 29. We'll give you a recap of what happened as well as our thoughts. Maybe some guests, I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? But until then, for Rowdy Roddy Will Rab, I'm the Dawes, Landon Doan, saying thanks for listening to Nearfall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt.
And Munch.
Take care.